This is my Bible.
I am
what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, I get stronger and stronger. Amen. Give God your best shout, would you? Hallelujah. All right. It's so good to be here tonight with you. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 7. This whole month, we're going to talk about an attribute of God. An attribute of God that you and I want to build our life upon. And that attribute is the faithfulness of God. As we look back 34 years of the history of our church, we see the faithfulness of God. How about you in your own life? Whether you've been a Christ follower since Sunday, and by the way, if you weren't here with us, you missed out on a celebration this last weekend. We had water baptism, 73 candidates this last weekend. Isn't that awesome? You know, so maybe you're just a Christ follower for a week. You can look back on this week and see the faithfulness of God. Or 30 years, 20, 10, 5, 1, whatever. But as we look back, we can see the faithfulness of God. You and I want to build our life on the attribute of God's faithfulness. We don't want to build our life on our circumstances. Can I have a yes in the house already? You know, we don't want to build our life on how we feel or what other people say or the seasons we're going through or our circumstances that change daily. They change daily. But God, He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you build your life on the rock, you will live your life as a rock, solid, stable, steadfast. So we're going to talk about all month, and you're going to see videos on our social media, in our services, and testimonies about the faithfulness of God. And tonight, I'm going to show you how important it is that you and I get a revelation that's fresh. Like Diane was talking about, that when it gets in your spirit, it's not just head knowledge, but when it gets in your spirit, a revelation of the faithfulness of God. God is unfailing. God is unfailing. God said, I will never fail you. God can't fail you. God, it's impossible for God to disappoint you. It's impossible for God to disappoint you or fail you. He is a faithful God. A week from tomorrow, next Thursday, is Kim and my 44th wedding anniversary. 44 years. Pray for us, okay? We've just begun, amen. Just got through the honeymoon. Now we're going to... 44 years. And think about it. So this month, we celebrate 34 years of Church on the Rock. We began with 35 people in the library at St. Peter's. 44 years of our marriage, we celebrate next Thursday. And in these 44 years together, Kim and I, in these 44 years, I know she's been faithful to me. And she knows that I have been faithful to her. For 44 years, we've been faithful one to another. Before we were married, we were faithful one to another. She was a virgin, I was a virgin, and we wanted to wait until we got married, do it right. And that's not to say getting on anybody's case, because praise God, God is a God of mercy and grace. Amen. But I'm emphasizing faithfulness. So we're talking about the faithfulness of God, how that God is an unfailing God. God can never, now people will fail us, you know, but God can never fail us. People will disappoint us. People will break their word. But God will never. God, see, if you build your life on that attribute of God, it will cause your life to take on meaning, strength, stability. You'll be empowered. You'll be bold. Your courage, you'll be full of hope and joy. I'm going to show you that tonight. How that the faithfulness of God is connected to your hope. The faithfulness of God is connected to your joy. In fact, the faithfulness of God is the foundation for your faith. Your faith, my faith, in the faithfulness of God is the foundation for our trust with God. But back to my story. Kim and I, 44 years, she's been faithful to me. I have been faithful to her. No outside affairs, no this, that, and the other. We've been faithful one to another. We love one another. Our love is growing more than ever before. We're excited about our future together as parents and grandparents. But as faithful as she is to me, and as faithful as I am to her, 44 years, and we dated a year, so 45 years together. I'm wearing this out, right? 45 years, faithful one to another. No affairs, no outside extramarital affairs. Virgins when we got married, but yet she's been faithful to me, and I've been faithful to her, but yet I know I've failed her. She's been faithful to me. I've been faithful to her, but yet in our faithfulness, I have still failed her. Even though I don't want to fail her, I don't want to be unfaithful. I don't want to say I'm going to go by, dear, you, just like last week. She said, dear, was you going to get some groceries, stop by and get me a green tea at Starbucks. Sure, dear, I'll do it, no problemo. I'm going to get the milk and the bread, and I'm going to go buy Starbucks, and you want a green tea, unsweetened, Trenta, I'll bring it home. Guess what? I got home, forgot the tea. I failed her. I was unfaithful. I hope you're getting where I'm going with this. As much as we love each other, as much as we've been faithful to one another for 44 years of marriage, next Thursday we celebrate, but yet we've both failed and been unfaithful one to another. But yet our God, His faithfulness is at another level, because His faithfulness includes He is an unfailing God. There's not one word that He has promised that He will not carry out and perform in our life if we'll partner with Him. Oh, that's an amazing thought, isn't it? I mean, you know, all of us in our church, we're a community here. We're a family here. And we're faithful one to another. But yet, in our faithfulness, we fail one another. We're unfaithful, not that we want to be, our family, one another, our church family, our natural family, our best friends, faithful, you know, in covenant, but yet we still are unfaithful in the fact that we sometimes forget what we promised, or we forget we said we were going to do that, we didn't mean to draw, but God is a faithful God, and in His faithfulness, He is an unfailing God. He cannot fail you ever in any season, any juncture, any time in your life. That's amazing. So when you build your life on that attribute, you see, you can't have strong faith without having faith in His faithfulness. Y'all with me, church? Okay, so let's build a case. What do you say? All right, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and let's look at verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know, therefore, so we need to know this. Know, therefore, that the Lord, you see, Lord is in capital letters, the Lord. See, when it was referring to the Lord there, it's referring to the Lord and all His attributes. It's referring to the Lord and all His attributes, all that He is. So He says, knowing, therefore, that the Lord, your God, He is God. And then what's the attribute He points out here? Know that He is the faithful God. We need a revelation of this, not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, a revelation that, oh my goodness, God can never be unfaithful. Even when I'm unfaithful to Him, He remains faithful. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. My unfaithfulness will never cause him to be unfaithful. He remains faithful. It's impossible for God to break his word. It's impossible for God to be unfaithful. It's impossible for God to fail you or fail me. And when you build your faith and trust in that, then you have a solid foundation to build your life upon. So he says, know this, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. What does he do? He keeps his covenant and mercy with them that love him, and he keeps his commandments, not just to me and you, not just to the next generation, not just to our grandchildren, but to what? 1,000 generations. How many people do you know in your life who love us and mean well, and they make a promise, and by a week later, they forgot? God's not like that. God says, I'll keep my promises way on beyond the third and the fourth and fifth and sixth and tenth to 1,000 generations if need be. Oh my goodness, that's our God tonight. Look with me in Psalm 89. Psalm 89, just look on the overheads, 33 and 34. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my what? Faithfulness to ever fail. This is God talking to his chosen people, but you are his chosen people, right, as well? So he says, my covenant will I not break. His covenant is the word of God, the promises. He said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Let's read it from the New Living Translation, verse 33. I will never stop loving nor fail to keep my promise to him. God is a promise keeper. Next verse. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word that I said. Now, that should empower those of us tonight who had a dream and we let the dream drop. Those of us who hoped big and disappointments came and we let go of our dream. Notice God says that when he promised you that you have a future, he has a plan for your life, he has a dream for your life, he has a destiny for your life, he said he's never going to alter it. He's not going to diminish it, shrink it, or take it back. Oh, come on, somebody. You realize what he's saying there? We mess up, it still doesn't alter God's promise. We make mistakes. We fall short. We break our promises. We're human. We're natural. We're flesh. But God says, even though we're unfaithful, he's faithful. Even though we fail him, he'll never fail us. Even though we question him, he'll never question us. Even though we've given up on him, he'll never give it up on us. Even though we've let go of the dream for our life, he will never ever let go of the dream he promised you a week ago, a month ago, a decade ago, 20 years ago. Come on, somebody, give God a big hand clap. Amen. So, you know, I know life happens and it's not easy. It's difficult. Life's hard and life is full of opposites. We'll look at that next Wednesday night in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says there's a time and a season for everything, but it says he makes it beautiful. Oh, I love that. It said he makes it beautiful. If I'll give God every season, every situation, every chapter of my life, as we look back over 34 years of this church and we see all the changes that have taken place, and yet through all the changes, he's been there all the time. All the times maybe we've questioned him, maybe we've doubted, maybe we've wavered, maybe we've hesitated, maybe we've even gotten bitter, angry in our own life. As we look back, he still has remained faithful. And the vision he gave you, he doesn't alter it. He doesn't give up on it. He never takes it back. He said that he believes in you. He's for you. Amen. No matter what we do, what we say, how we question, how we waver, when we give up, how we fail, when we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. And if anybody moved, it's us. It's never God. Oh, I'm excited about the word tonight. Amen. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word that I said. You know, God's a faithful God. He's an unfailing God. And I look back over the years here at Church on the Rock and all the changes. You see, Pastor, all the changes. Folks, we got to change to grow. You have to change to grow. Is change fun? No. But you have to change to grow. And I look back over all the seasons of our church, over 3 decades, and I think of all the wonderful people down through the years who made it possible for you and I to sit here tonight. We're standing or sitting on somebody else's shoulders. You know, they gave, they served. Just like this coming Saturday morning, Tony, the usher team on our dream team, we're having a work day this coming Saturday morning from 9 to 12. Bring your tools with you. We're going to have fun and fellowship. What are we doing? We're serving the Lord. We're using our gifts, talents, and abilities. We're taking care of God's house. We're setting aside an hour or two to make a difference, because what you and I are doing now, you know what? We're planting trees for others to have shade. You know what? Our ceiling is going to be somebody else's. It's going to be their floor. Do you understand what I mean by that? As high as we go in building and equipping and taking care of God's house and expanding it and taking what we have and making it better on these work days, what are we doing? That the next generation are going to build on top of what we leave them. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Oh, hallelujah. So look here with me, if you would. Go to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, and let's look at verse 17 through 20. Lamentations 3, 17 through 20. And I know we can all identify with this, because maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're in a struggle. It's a season. You don't know what's going on. Why is it happening? Why is it taking so long? Why do I have these emotions? Why am I feeling this? Yes, God promised that. It hasn't happened. Why? I'm believing to be healed. Hasn't happened, Pastor. I'm believing for a better job. Hasn't happened. I'm believing for the right person to come in my life. They haven't come. Pastor, I'm in limbo. Pastor, I don't have the answers. I don't even know what the questions are anymore. What do I do? Pastor, I've lost my hope, my zeal, my fire. I'm touchy. I'm irritated. I'm agitated. I'm nervous. I'm fearful. All the above. What do I do, Pastor? I want to show you, by focusing on the faithfulness of God, by feeding on the faithfulness of God, God can restore, God can renew, God will give you a second wind, God will give you better than you ever had before, by feeding on, focusing on, not what man has done to you or hasn't done, not the seasons that you've been in or are in right now, but by focusing on the attribute of God's faithfulness. See, I'm going to ask you 2 questions. You know, when you think of God, you know, when you think of God, what do you think of God? When you think of God, I hope we do, what do you think of God? You see, tonight, some people, I would say, what do you think of God? And somebody might say, you know, I think he doesn't care about me. I think he's far from me. I can't feel him. I think God's forgotten me. When I ask you to think of God, what do you think about God? You know, when you think of God at our church, I want you to think about God that he's faithful, that he's there, that he'll never fail you. No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened to you, it's a season. It will pass. Life is full of opposite. There's a time to cry. There's a time to rejoice. Right? Life is full of opposites. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. And in those good days and bad days, you remain focusing on the faithfulness of God. It may seem like God has let you down, but God can't let you down. It may seem like God's not there, but God said, I'll never leave you or fail you or forsake you. Am I connecting with you tonight? Life is full of opposites. As I look back over 34 years of our church, there were good years and not as good years. There were good weeks and not as good weeks. There were good winters and not as good winters. Winters, you know what I'm talking about? Some winters, no snow. Hallelujah. And all the kids don't like it whenever I do that, because they want snow days. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. Wow. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, Lamentations. Jeremiah is saying, my soul has no peace. I have no peace. I'm in turmoil. I'm agitated easily. I argue when I don't want to. I'm offended at the drop of a hat. I get upset, lose my temper, then I feel bad. I have no peace. I'm restless. I can't sleep. Where do I get peace? He said, I have no peace. And then he said, I forgot prosperity. Don't you love the word of God? It's so relative to where we live. He said, I forgot prosperity. In other words, let's liken it to where you and I live. I'll never be happy again. Happy days aren't here again. They're long gone, and I'll never have them again. My kids will never have the opportunities I had. My grandkids will never have the opportunity my kids had. The good old days were the good old days. I'll never be happy again. I've lost prosperity. I've lost all my portfolio, my savings, my investments. Lost them a long time ago. I'll never get them back. I used to have a good car. I never be able to buy a brand new car. My house needs this. It needs a new roof. It needs new shutters. Need a dishwasher. I used to be able to afford it. Never afford that again because I got laid off. This, that, you know, on and on and on and on. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he said, my soul has no peace. I've lost all peace. He said, my mind, my soul, he said, I feel like giving up. I'm broke and I'll be broke all my life. I can't pay my bills and I won't be able to pay my bills. Savings, lost it, never have it back. Boy, the word of God is so relevant. Next verse goes on. And I said, my strength, man, I used to be strong, used to feel the anointing. Used to be excited about church, serving, work days. Used to be excited about living for God. Used to be excited about my future. Look, and I've lost all hope. Now look at the characteristics of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He said, I have no peace. I'm restless. I can't sleep. I take melatonin, doesn't work. Take Valium, doesn't work. You know, I just can't sleep at night. I'm restless. I'm worried. I'm anxious. And prosperity, oh my goodness, I can't pay my bills. Pastor's always throwing projects before us. I feel bad because I can't help. I made mess with my money. My job, I'll never get a raise. Happy days are gone. Prosperity, it's forgotten. Hope, I have no hope. Future, I have no future. Restless, no future. Strength, I used to feel good. Now it's aches and pains. Boy, the word of God is so relevant. Next verse. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Notice, what's he focusing on? Heartache, turmoil, hurts, when people broke their word, didn't keep their word, when they were lied about, rejected, persecuted, made fun of, ridiculed. All the hard times of life, all the worst times of life, they keep bringing it up, what he did, what she did, that marriage, that job, that church, my parents, that dad, my father. They keep bringing it all up. They're negative. They're cynical. They're hopeless. No peace. Giving up on increased prosperity. Happy days are long gone in my life. The whole characteristic of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He's depressed. He's discouraged. He's hopeless. Has no peace, has no joy, has no hope. All he's doing is remembering, he says, all the wrong in his life. And folks, life is full of opposites. Ecclesiastes 3, we'll look at it next Wednesday night. There'll be good days and there'll be bad. There'll be sunny days and there'll be rainy days. There'll be days when you're up and days when you're down, days when everything goes great and you think the devil forgot where you were at, all the demons forgot where you're at, and then there'll be another day where you felt they're all at your house. Right? Say it with me. Life is full of opposites. But what you and I keeps us stable and on track and on point and in the right position is focusing on, feeding on the faithfulness of God. God is an unfailing God. It's impossible for God to fail you. All right? So it goes on, next verse, verse 20. My soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Powerful, powerful statement. Now, let's jump on to the next verse, verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Do y'all see that? All of a sudden, there's a change. All of a sudden, there's a change. There's a shift. He said, you know, I'm shaking myself. I don't want to stay in that state, that condition. I don't want to live up and down. I don't want to be up on a good day and bad down on a down day. I don't want to be a roller coaster Christian. I don't want to be full of name it and claim it. And Pastor Kim talks about good days and prosperity. Boy, I got it and I'm decreed it. And the next day, I'm grumbling because I can't even pay the light bill. I don't want to be like that anymore. So what does he do? What does he do? He says, I recall to my mind. See, for every new season, you got to change the way you think. Oh, my goodness. That's worth church on Wednesday night. See, you won't change this season to the next season until you change your thought life. For every new season, it takes a new thought and a new schedule and new mentors and new friends to go to a new level. Pastor Kim talked about, she's basically, when she says pray for yourself, you understand she's not talking about being selfish. She's talking about, search me, O Lord. Here I am, and I'm open. And here she said that God spoke to her about a friend, a good friend. Nothing wrong with a friend, but for evidently for her to go into a new season, that friend needs to move out just a little way in distance. Okay, so for a new season, there has to be new thoughts. Today, the way I think as I pastor y'all whom I love dearly, I think differently than I did 34 years ago with 35 people in the library of St. Peter's. I think differently. We manage differently. We organize differently. We structure differently. And you have to do that. For every new season, you have to schedule a new schedule. You have to think new thoughts. Is that awesome? Okay. So he says, I recall to my mind, and then what? Therefore, I now have hope. Oh my goodness, what happened? He says, I change the way that I'm thinking. I begin to focus on something. And as I began to focus on the something, it caused a shift in my life. As I stopped focusing on my misery and my down days and my disappointments and people failing me and my husband, my wife, my parents, my friends, my siblings, my church, as I got changed my focus and what I was thinking, there was a shift. Now I've got hope back. Oh my goodness. Now what's the list? What's the characteristic and the positive? This I recall to my mind. Therefore, now I have hope. Next verse. It is of the Lord's mercies. What's he looking at? The attributes of God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. God is an unfailing God. Whatever the problems are in my life, they're not because of God. Because it says that there's a time and a season for everything. Good things and bad things, but it says he makes all things beautiful if I'll let him. He takes the bad and makes it beautiful. He takes the bad and turns it around for my good if I'm in a position for him to do it. So he says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Next verse. They are new every morning. And what's the attribute that he's focusing on that shifted everything? And great is your faithfulness. When you begin to feed on, focus on, meditate on, mutter on, sing about, focus on the scriptures that talk about his faithfulness. And not just faithfulness, how great is his faithfulness? What's it do? It's connected to your hope. It's connected to your joy. It's connected to clarity. It's connected to your peace. When you look at the faithfulness of God, it'll bring you peace. When you focus on the faithfulness of God and whatever you're going through, get your eyes off your circumstances and build your life on the attribute of the faithfulness of God. Joy, peace, strength, power, anointing, hope, and something triggers and you start moving forward. When you begin to change what you're thinking on and you begin to think on the faithfulness of God. Would you give the Lord a big praise as the team comes out? Look with me if you would in Psalm 37 and verse 3. Psalm 37 and verse 3. So just think about this, that the faithfulness of God is connected to how I feel and what I see and how I respond and my perspective and my mood swings, focusing on the faithfulness of God. You see, my dad told me this. He said, you know, Dave, he said, get your eyes off of people. My father who's in heaven, he was a deacon in our church. He said, Dave, don't put your eyes on people because we all fail each other. Even when we don't want to, but we're human. He said, you keep your eyes on the Lord. He can never fail you. He can never disappoint you. Isn't that amazing? Look what he says here in Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust. Wow, trust. Now remember, your trust is built as a result of your faith in the attribute of the faithfulness of God. Everybody say trust. Now, you know, trust has to be built, doesn't it? I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a salesman. Doesn't come to our church. He lives over in Clayton. His name is Ben. And Ben is a salesman. And I was talking to Ben 2 weeks ago. Actually, 2 weeks ago, Monday. And I was talking to Ben. We had got together for a little fellowship. And I said, Ben, how goes your business? Because he's a salesperson and he gets paid on commission. He said, Pastor Blunt, he said, my business right now, he goes, where I'm at this year from last year, I've increased this year 26%. I'm making 26% more money in sales this time this year than last year. I said, Ben, tell me. I want to know because I believe that God's raising up kings out of Church on the Rock. Y'all know what I mean by that? Kings and priests. Kings are business people, entrepreneurs that get the provision for the vision of the priest. And the kings and the priests work together. Okay? So we're believing God. You know, we won't push any rich folk away, will we, church? I mean, we want rich people to come to Church on the Rock. But more than that, I want to raise up rich people from within Church on the Rock. Amen. So I said, Ben, tell me, how did you do this? 26%? You get a commission on what you sell, with what you sell? He goes, yeah. I said, how do you do that? He said, Pastor, 80% of my customers are repeat. 80%. Oh, he actually said 83% of all of his customers are repeat customers. I said, Ben, how did you get repeat? How do you do that? And here's what he told me. He said, Pastor, they trust me. I said, they trust you? He goes, yeah, they trust me. I said, Ben, I said, how do you build trust? He goes, well, here's how I build trust with my customers. I got to get to know them. He said, I take time. It's called being intentional. So every day of our life, put it over into the spiritual, we got to be intentional. Today, I'm going to get to know God's faithfulness a little bit better. I'm giving you takeaways now, okay? So he said, Pastor Blunt, he goes, trust is built on knowing me, so I make sure that it's intentional that I get to know them and they get to know me. And then he said, through knowing me, he said, then people, even they won't trust you unless they like you. So he said, I build the trust through getting to know them and positioning myself in a way where they'll like me. So in knowing me and liking me, they trust me. And he said, in knowing me and liking me, knowing me and liking me. So that's why our dream team here at Church on the Rock, that's why we say welcome home and we want everyone to feel at home, because we want people to like us, because they won't trust us until they like us, right? So knowing, liking equals trusting. And he said, I found out if they trust me, they keep coming back. Well, as you and I build trust with God, who is a what? Faithful God, you'll run to him when you're in trouble. Oh, hallelujah. And you won't be focusing on your circumstances. So look what he says. Trust, what does that mean? To lean on. Can't go wrong leaning in on God. You business people know the term. That's a term out there today. Lean in. You lean into God. So trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do what? Do good. So you shall dwell in the land and feed. Oh, look at this now. This is the phrase. This is the phrase. What are we supposed to feed on? CNN? Certainly negative news? CNN? What should we focus on? Fox? No. What should we focus on? Talk radio? No. What should we focus on? Our circumstances? Not if we want to be a winner, an overcomer, confident. Not if we want to be up in a down world, stable, consistent, faithful to the end, strong finishers. What do we want to feed on? The attribute. We want to feed on the attribute of His faithfulness. And the result is, truly, you will be strong. You will be fed. So as a result of this month, as we are honoring 34 years of God's faithfulness at Church on the Rock, you and I at the end of this month should be stronger, with more joy, more hope, more strength, greater anointing, greater peace, less stress, less anxiety. Come on, somebody. And happier about our future. If you got something, give the Lord a good praise tonight, would you?